Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Text number 29, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Lord, the Personality of Godhead, said, Ma, do not. Vedagarbha, of you, oh sorry, O you who have the depth of all Vedic wisdom, Gaha Tandrim, become dejected, Sarage, for creation, Ujjamam, enterprises, Avaha. You just undertake tat, that which you want, maya, by me, apaditam, executed, he certainly, agre, previously, yat, which, mam, from me, Pratayate, begging, Bhavan, you, Pratayate, that we have Pratana, the songs of Narottam Das, right? Pratana, isn't it interesting? We have the word prayer, right? Pratana and prayer in English, which is, it's okay, it's already running, I think.
It's increasing the volume.
You're increasing the volume?
Yeah.
Okay, why not? All the better to hear you with. Okay. Prarthana. Prarthayate. Begging. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, Veda Garbha. What's that noise? Veda Garbha, O you who have the depth of all Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious. Tandrim, that's dejected. Be neither depressed nor anxious. So that's the translation of gas tandrim. About the execution of creation, sarge. Udyamam, avaha tat mayapaditam. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. He are grey. What you're asking for, I've already given it. What you're asking for, I have already given it to you before. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. Basically, what you want to do, I've already given it to you before. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Purport. Any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord, and thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakchorun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gunim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. That's very noisy, that clock. It didn't used to be like that, did it? Might be time to get a new clock. Or work out how to make it quieter. But anyway. Right. So, we have Lord Brahma is now receiving instructions from Krishna. And Krishna is reassuring him that whilst his service is he's been given a weighty mission. He's been charged with a extremely important service job, and so he's demonstrating a mood of humility, which is appropriate for a devotee. Especially when it comes to performing a responsible service, then the devotees appreciate the weight of the responsibility that they've been given, and as a consequence they feel incapable or unqualified to perform that service, because they always feel themselves dependent upon Krishna. They always feel themselves dependent upon the mercy of their of the spiritual master. They feel themselves dependent upon the mercy of the devotees. And so, on the one hand, as Krishna is pointing out here, they may be capable of doing the service. Like Krishna is saying to Brahma, don't worry. Ma suchaha, do not fear. Or here, you know, I've already given this to you. Hi agre. Yat mam pratayate. You are begging. Mam pratayate bhavan. You're begging from me what I've already given you before. And so, you know, you can easily do it. You can easily perform the function of secondary creation, basically. You can do it. I've already given it to you before. But the mood of Lord Brahma is very appropriate. He's feeling himself insufficient, even though he may have done it many, many times before. He still feels himself insufficient, dependent. And so therefore he's begging from Krishna, please give me the capacity, the power, the inspiration. And the Lord's saying, don't become dejected, don't become despondent. Prabhupada says here, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation, although that's... mentioned, I don't think. Oh, yeah, sadga udyamam avaha. You must undertake. You know, you must do your service. And so Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport, any person authorized by either the Lord or his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. So, we were discussing this the other day. One feels incapable of doing a service, yet when a person is entrusted here, authorized by either the Lord or his bona fide representative, then he's already empowered to do the service. You know, Srila Prabhupada was conscious of his role as a servant of his spiritual master and ultimately of the parampara, of Lord Chaitanya, ultimately of Krishna. And so, and we know that Srila Prabhupada had a vision of his service. He knew what he was going to do. There's the conversation with, was it Mr. Rubin, the train conductor or something, wasn't it, in New York, before Prabhupada even had established any preaching facility. He was explaining how there were temples, there were deities, there were farms, there were so many activities. Just like Krishna said to Arjuna, you know, I've already, you know, the battle of Kurukshetra is already fought. These people are already destroyed. That's the arrangement. Now, you either take the credit or not. But that's my plan. That's my desire. So, the devotees are conscious of the fact that the work is already ordained or has already been completed in one sense, because the vision is established. It's established in the scripture, it's established by the statement of the sadhus, it's ordained by the spiritual master, and so therefore we are to engage in the service knowing ultimately that Krishna is doing everything, right? That the material energy is orchestrated ultimately by Krishna, by his, through his direction, and it's simply up to us to fulfill the plan of the Lord in a humble way. Not, you know, no, I'm the ordained, you know, personality of servitorship. One may be, but we see in Prabhupada's case, we know that Srila Prabhupada was empowered to, you know, he's Lord Chaitanya's empowered representative. He's the one who fulfilled the prediction of Lord Chaitanya that the chanting of Hare Krishna will be heard in every town and village. But even though Prabhupada had that vision of who he was and what his service was and what he would accomplish, he still had a very humble demeanor. That's the means by which one can be successful, if one remains humble. When a devotee becomes proud, then Krishna actually doesn't like pride in a devotee, and so he'll dismantle it in a variety of ways. So Prabhupada says that one should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. But on the contrary, with such a responsibility, one should always be aware of his incapability. I must always look for the mercy of the Lord. So this is a bit of a dilemma. This is a dilemma because we may be capable of doing things and we should be aware of our capabilities. But at the same time, we shouldn't become proud of our ability. You know, the peacock shouldn't become proud of his plumes, right? Because ultimately, whatever capability or whatever facility we have, it's being given to us by Krishna. So it's only borrowed. Yeah, we shouldn't become proud of borrowed plumes. It's just a dress, if you like. It's something that's been given to us, but it can just as easily be taken away. So Prabhupada says here, fortunate is he who is so entrusted. So it's an honour and a privilege to be protected by Krishna in the form of the instructions of the spiritual master, in the form of devotional service, in the form of association with the devotees, in the opportunity to render service as a member of the Sankirtan mission. So to be entrusted and be given the authority to act on behalf of the Lord is a very fortunate position. So in one sense, we can feel satisfaction in having that responsibility. But Prabhupada makes the point here. If he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Lord, he's sure to come out successful in the discharge. So this is an art, learning how to be a servant. Subordinate. What does subordinate mean? Subordinate. What does that mean? Sub means what? Below. Ordinate means what? Receiving orders. Receiving instruction. So under instruction. one devotee asked me the other day, you know, when can I make my own, in what circumstances can I make my own decisions? Right? Well, first of all, learn how to follow instructions first. That's the first thing. That's the test. First of all, follow instructions. Then when you demonstrate that you can follow instructions, then you'll be allowed to make your own decisions. Because you demonstrate, okay, and basically we don't make our own decisions. We follow certain guidelines and principles of service. And the service attitude has to be there first. And if a devotee is not able to accomplish the service according to the instructions, until they do that, they won't be given they haven't earned the trust to make their own decisions. So we have to learn. We have to learn how to be servants first. And that's not easy, right? Because you have to follow instructions. And then we think, why can't I just make my own decisions? What I have to do what you tell me to do? Huh? I want to do it my way. But subordination means you do it the way that the master wants, or the person that we're serving, the Prabhu, right? Prabhu means master. And what's a simple example that Prabhupada gives of this principle? What's a simple example of being a das and serving the Prabhu? What's an example that Prabhupada gives? A very simple example. Anybody know? Speculate. We're allowed to speculate on these things.
Mother and child.
Huh? Mother and child. Yes. Yeah, that's one. That's not quite what I had in mind, but certainly it is. The only problem with the mother and the child is the mother's trying to work out what's wrong with this kid. Right? He's crying, carrying on, and he's trying to work out what it is. He's hungry, got a, you know, bellyache, needs to have his nappy changed, just having a bad day, right? Trying to work out what the child wants. The example that Prabhupada gives of the guru asking for a drink of orange juice, right? And then the disciple goes to the fridge and there's nothing there, so he comes back with a glass of milk, right? So, but the guru says, I don't want a glass of milk, I ask for a glass of orange juice. Right? So, you know, it's providing what's requested. So, that's what's happening here with Lord Brahma. He's in the right mood and he's also qualified. And so therefore he'll always be successful. Because he's coming with that mood of, I need to render this service, but I'm not sure whether I can do it. Can you please help me? And so therefore then what happens? The Lord gives him instructions. And of course that's our system. Our system is not very difficult. We submit ourselves before the devotees and we say, I'd like to do some service. What do you want me to do? And then the devotees will tell us, here's what we want you to do. We can't at that point then say, oh, I don't want to do that. Right? That's the wrong... Okay, we might be able to say, ooh, that's going to be difficult. Or that may be hard. How do you want me to do it? So that's the mood of a servant is, what do you want? And sometimes that's a challenge because we'll be asked to do things that we don't want to do. That's inevitable. Or we'll be asked to do things that will be a challenge. That's like Lord Brahma, he's realized, and this is, you know, in one sense a symptom of an advanced devotee, is that he's realized what his service is. He knows what his service is. He's realized that from his meditation. And so he's realized, okay, this is my service. How am I going to do it? And so, you know, an advanced devotee doesn't even have to actually ask what his service is, because he already knows what his service is. But knowing what the service is, he can still inquire. How do you want me to do it? This way, that way, or whatever. You know, there can be many exchanges based on the service. Do you want it this way? Do you want it that way? What about if I do this? What about if we do that? How about try it this way? So there can be many discussions on how to actually achieve the result. And of course, Krishna's saying to him here, "Look, you don't have to worry. You're qualified to do it. I've already given you I've already empowered you and entrusted you before. So therefore, you can do it." Now, the trick is, we need to know who we are serving. Okay, yes, we're serving Krishna, but rarely do we serve Krishna directly. Most often we do it as a service to his servants. That's why Lord Chaitanya prayed, Gopi Bhar Tu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. So I'm a servant of Krishna many times removed. And that may not be very inspiring. Here, Lord Brahma is talking directly with Krishna. He's getting his, you know, he's getting his instructions directly from Krishna. But we should understand how the parampara works. The parampara works such that when we get an instruction from a devotee to do some service, and that service is authorized by the parampara, it's as good as if it has come directly from Krishna. Actually, that's the potency of the parampara. And so each one of the devotees, ideally all of the devotees, are representatives of the parampara. If they're following the instructions of their spiritual master, if they're following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, working within the context of our ISKCON Sangha, or even some people say Sampradaya, not that we've created a new Sampradaya, but we have a Sangha. Sampradaya means Sangha, basically. So, when we're in the association of the devotees, then we're all working together to fulfill Krishna's mission. And we may or may not be accomplished at the task, but even if we are, and certainly if we aren't, we need to have that mood of subordination, that mood of humility. So Prabhupada says here, "Fortunate is he or she who is so Prabhupada doesn't say or she, but I did. Who is so entrusted, right? We've given our service. And if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. So this is the key. This Trinadupi Sunichena Taroreva Sahishnuna Amanadena Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So, you know, this mood of humility, tolerance, forbearance, service attitude, service mood. Very important. Then he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Now the example given in a purport is who? Starts with an A. A key figure in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, yes. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was entrusted, the Lord already arranged for his victory. Right? So, you know, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna basically shows Arjuna him destroying all of the enemies. So he didn't have to worry about the outcome. Just like we don't have to worry about the outcome. This is the point. We do our duty and leave the result up to Krishna. And sometimes we'll be successful and sometimes we won't. I don't know if you've noticed. Right? Sometimes you'll be successful, sometimes you won't. Sometimes we'll go out preaching, we'll go out on book distribution, for example, and everybody we meet, they're all smiling and laughing. We ask them to take a book, they take a book. We ask them to give a donation, they give a donation. And you know, whatever we do, it seems like we're, you know, a Shaktivesh avatar of book distribution, right? Then we go out the next day, we can't put a string of sentence together, we can't even stop people, they're rude to us, and we can't give anybody a book and we never get a donation. Right? So, some days we're successful, some days we're not, but we have to learn to be detached from the results of our activities. We should feel safe and secure that the Sankirtan mission will be successful. Not will be, it is already successful. We're being purified by the opportunity to render service. And in one sense, the result is sure. You know, some days we'll be successful, some days we won't. But as we keep endeavouring to serve the Lord and to serve the devotees in Prabhupada's mission in ISKCON, basically, we've got a great opportunity for purification and ultimately to enjoy the success of our preaching. Because we understand it's not us. Ultimately, everything has been arranged by Krishna. And whilst we enjoy our successes, we'll also enjoy the fact that there's more challenges. But we shouldn't worry about whether we're going to be empowered or not, because we know in the past we were successful. Krishna's given it to us in the past. He also hasn't given to our expectations, perhaps. Or shall we say, we'll always be surprised as to what happens. Right? And so we should just keep serving with this mood of dependence. And that's what Prabhupada says. Krishna revealed, you know, because it would have been easy for Arjuna, oh, okay, I don't have to do anything, it's all just... Right? But he says here, but Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord, and thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. And then here's the thing here. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Right? You might be able to do things. We see this sometimes with the devotees. They become accomplished. They are given some facility, provided ultimately by Krishna, but they become proud of it. And then what happens, you know, when we're proud, we then start to think ourselves superior, better than others, and then we commit offences. Falsely proud. And then, you know, we criticise the devotees, usually, first offence. We criticize the devotees. So, but Prabhupada says here, Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps, that means. What does that mean? Following in his footsteps. If we're following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, what does that mean we're doing here in this context? Yeah, taking the instructions. What else? Accepting the world? Accepting, yeah, accepting Krishna, that's good. What else? Yeah, humility. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful. So that means we have to then look at what is the character of Lord Brahma that makes him successful. Because we also know that Lord Brahma, you know, at a certain point in time got a little bit puffed up with his success, right? And then he pinched Krishna's cows and his boyhood friends, right? So, you know, I guess if we look at the example of Lord Brahma, we can expect that maybe even sometime we might get a little proud of who we are and what we've done. But then Krishna will, because Krishna's inclined towards his devotees, then he humbles them. He makes them make mistakes. Which can be very embarrassing for us. Right? Who likes to make mistakes? Please raise your hands. Nobody. Okay, but who here doesn't make mistakes? You. Oh, okay. One person doesn't make mistakes. Very good. And you know, that can be embarrassing for a devotee. You know, we like to think of ourselves as, you know, perfect. We're following in the path of perfection. And even Krishna says, even if you make a mistake, you're still considered saintly. Right? But even though Lord Brahma made a mistake, or even the devotees make a mistake, they're still saintly so long as they stick at the path. We stick at the process. But, you know, we're trying to make devotees who are always perfect. But sometimes, or often, we're not perfect. In fact, the fact that we think we're perfect means that we're already not perfect. Right? But we like to, you know, we've got what we call a fixed-up devotee. You know, we have to learn so many mantras, we have to learn how to put our dhoti on or our sari, put tilak on, so many things. And we struggle. As a young devotee, we struggle to become perfect. Right? Do everything properly. But then when we reach perfection, we discover that we're still making mistakes. And we go, oh, wait a second, I thought it was perfect. Well, we are perfect. And we may, well, we have defects. We're perfect when we follow the order of the spiritual master, when we follow Krishna's instructions, when we're rendering service, even if we make some mistakes, we're still considered to be perfect. And those mistakes are generally arranged by Krishna to keep us humble, to keep us subordinate, so that we're always, you know, we're always honing out that mood of dependence upon Krishna, that mood of dependence upon the order of the spiritual master, the dependence on the order of the devotees that we're serving under or serving with in order to make progress, to make spiritual progress. So, you know, we're on the path of perfection, but that doesn't necessarily make us perfect per se. In that, you know, all of our deficiencies are, you know, somehow swept under the carpet. They're not. But if we remain humble and alert to what our service is, and if we have some difficulty or that we're not clear of what we should be doing, then we always have that opportunity to inquire or to beg here. Not just inquire, but here it's prarthayate. Begging. Right? We're always beggars. So in order to be successful, we need to maintain that mood of supplication. We need to be a supplicant. Which means, you know, my Lord, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Or, Prabhu, you're Krishna's representative for me. What do you want me to do? That's a very healthy mood. Then, as Prabhupada says here, Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. So does anybody have any comments or questions?
Yes.
So sometimes it might be
Give me an example of an unsuccessful service at which you're unsuccessful. Wisdom, devotion. Yeah. Always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting him. There you go. The fact that we're doing some service and we're offering it to Krishna is a measure of our success, even if our mind is not fully present. So Krishna looks at the essence of our, you know, at our motivation. The motivation should be just to please Krishna and please the devotees, whether the material outcome is successful or not. If we keep doing our service, then we're successful. We may not be doing it in that purest of meditations, but if we keep it, that's the basis. The basis of sticking to our service and trying to perform it to the best of our ability. And of course here, success that I'm referring to is based on whether, you know, we go out to do book distribution, we might go out and not sell any books. But the fact that we were out and trying to be a servant is a success. Right? That helps us develop our devotional mood or our devotional service. Success in devotional service is another thing. But if we keep doing the service, following the order of the spiritual master or the devotees, Prabhupada, then it's successful. Right? Even from the point of view, we may not be meditating on Krishna, you know, 100% in depth. But Prabhupada makes the point, you know, he gives the example of a mango. A mango is a mango. In the beginning, it may be unripe, right? But it's still a mango. And as it matures, then it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So also our devotional service, when performed without attachment to the results, in other words, it's pure devotional service, unmotivated devotional service, then it may not be the purest of devotional service, but because we're practicing, you know, at the moment we're in the state of practice, then in due course of time it will come to the point of fructification where it will become mature and steady, focused on pleasing Krishna rather than worrying about what the result might be. Which is what Krishna was saying to Arjuna. Right? He's saying, don't worry about the result, just go and fight. Because that was his main concern. Or not one of his concerns. Oh, what about all of the people that I'll kill? What about the sins? But then later on, what about all the people I'll kill? I won't be able to enjoy the kingdom with them. So looking at it from the point of view of, you know, with a little bit of a selfish motive. But Krishna's saying, you do your service, be detached from the results, leave that up to me, because I've already ordained what the result will be. And if you continue to participate, then you become purified and make advancement. At least that's the instruction for us. That doesn't have to be the instruction for Arjuna, because he's already Nitya's Siddha. But in instructing Arjuna, Krishna is ultimately instructing us. So, yeah, meditation, the mood is important. Humble service attitude. It has to be cultivated. Huh? And I think the best way is just to do what you're asked to do. And do that to the best of your ability. Not hard, is it? Not really, no. Just we don't like being told what to do. Huh? For which what? Become qualified. Yeah. Read Prabhupada's books, go and preach. Right? Just like sort of Prabhupada was given the instruction to preach in English, you know, in the Western countries by his spiritual master. Well, he wasn't able to do that straight away, but he thought, okay, here's the instruction, now let me fulfill it. Huh? So, you know, yeah, that's, you know, pretty much that's an instruction that all of us have been given by Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, we already have the instruction through the parampara to do that. So, that's why we have the Bhakti Shastri and the Bhakti Vaibhav and other courses to become qualified in that area. Right? Rasa?
I was thinking a lot before about this pure yip and dry. And as I can see from my experience, when the pride comes, when we are attached according to the way I have experienced it when I have seen it, pride comes when we are attached to the opulences, like in order of goodness, like cleanliness, like opulences of Krishna, you know, like cleanliness, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, fame. When we get attached to these things, this is like also like Ravana, he was attached to the energies of the Lord and not to the Lord. So, and like Daksha was attached to cleanliness, to prestige, and Shiva was not good enough for him. He was not clean, he didn't have good association, so he didn't match his
expectations.
Yes, he was attached to these material opulences, material qualities, like cleanliness is also not a goodness. But what happens when we get attached more to these things than to Krishna and see anything, everything in relation to Krishna? When we attain these things, we become proud, and then we look down on others.
And then what? Perfect.
And then we look down on others, and then...
Oh, look down on others, yeah.
That's how Daksha is example of that.
Yes.
So, that's how the modes fight with each other. That's how the mode of passion overcomes the mode of goodness. Otherwise, how come the mode of goodness can be overcome? Can be by pride. Mm-hmm. That's why
they say
pride comes before.
And pride is a symptom of ignorance.
Yes. And
so that's the mode of ignorance coming.
And yep. You make offense, and then you get reactions, and you jump in mode of ignorance as well.
Yeah.
In deeper ignorance, you go to God's head, and we need to see where is our attachment? Someone can be like strife. That's why it says Jaina Ishwarya should actually be. All those who are attached to beauty, family, prestige,
wealth, knowledge.
This is all same attachment like Ravana had for Sita. Sita signifies these opulences.
Yeah. And he thought he had Sita, but actually he had Maya Sita. He didn't actually have Sita because of that mentality.
And whatever we attain, that's what for us Maya Sita is.
Yeah,
away. It's not good, but when you see everything in relation to Krishna,
so
you serve Krishna, then you
so,
on our eyes.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, good point. Yes. So we are, that's why we have to stay in the association of devotees, keep rendering service, and keep cultivating. That's why we hear the stories of this is why the Bhagavatam is so important for us, because the Bhagavatam illustrates these issues or these problems that the devotees face, how they then are able to overcome the difficulties, right? You know, when Daksha got his goat's head, then basically, you know, he was humbled. A bit embarrassing. You know, you're the great progenitor, right? But basically your behaviour is no better than that of a goat. If you become proud, right? Our behaviour, if we become influenced by the modes of material nature, or we become influenced by lust, which is passion, anger, which is ignorance, greed, more passion, then these destroy or undermine our devotional quality. So we have to be aware, you know, that self-realization for us means being aware of the good qualities that we might have by Krishna's mercy, but also be on the lookout for the animalistic qualities that we've been associating with in conditioned life, so that we can always remain at the top. And to remain at the top level of a devotee, right? How do we remain a top level devotee? We remain very humble. Right? Top level devotee means lower, you know, feeling very humble, subordinate, dependent upon Krishna, and thankful, you know, appreciative, show gratitude, basically. Yeah, very good. Thank you, everybody. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.